your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. We can't deal with every part of Malachi, but our first chapter, we spoke mainly about the people's ignorance of God's love for them. And in this one, in chapter 2, the people's ignorance of God's curse on them. So that seems to be a little contradictory. God's love, and yet when they reject God's love, as they are doing, as we shall see, God's curse is on them, because these are God's people. These are the Jewish people, the Jewish race. So let me read the first 9 verses of Malachi chapter 2. And now, you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. And you all know what dung is. Even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my commandment, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear with which he feared me and was afraid before my name. So there was a man that was submitted to the Lord. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been partial in the law. Let's pray. Guide us, our Father, as we think and as we meditate and as we consider the truth. What a sad day this was. And yet, could it be the same in our day in which we live? Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If someone told you today that you had a curse on you from God, I wonder what you would say. Would it bother you at all? A little bit? How about a curse that says nothing you do will be blessed? Nothing you say will change the curse. All you can look forward to now in the future is sadness, sorrow, negatives, and catastrophes, because you have not surrendered to God. Someone says, I don't believe in curses. Well, I don't believe in curses either. My answer is, though, what curses there are come from God, not me and not you. God does put curses on people. If you don't believe it, read Deuteronomy 27 and 28 chapters. Yes, it's possible for God to curse his professing people. That is, God is able and does at times place a curse on men so that whatever they might do, they never will be blessed. And to see this, we turn to Malachi. Is there anything sadder than to be under the curse of God and not know it, as was the case of the people of Malachi's day? They were under the curse of God and didn't know it. To have God's wrath upon you when you thought that his blessings were with you? To be worshiping and yet not being received by God? To be thinking that you're doing it it's really an abomination to God what you're doing. Yet that's the state of many people in the day of Malachi. For the people were blindly following a priesthood which was under the curse of God. And could that not be what happens in our day as well? People go to church and yet they do not realize that their church is wrong, their preacher's wrong, their offerings are wrong, their doctrine is wrong, their worship is wrong, their relationship to God is wrong, their future hope is wrong, their confidence that they'll be in heaven is wrong, their church going is wrong, their whole religious life is wrong, the whole system of their worship is wrong. And if such was true in the days of Malachi, surely it could be true in our day. People under the curse of God in their worship and church life and doctrine, and they don't even know it in our day as well. Actually, this section, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, concerns the priests of Malachi's day. But as also in our day, the false religious leaders are representatives of the people in our day. And if they are wrong, so often the people are wrong as well, because they follow their preachers. And to put it in the words of today, preachers, pastors, and some priests still left. How gullible people are to follow some religious leader, even if he's wrong, even though his doctrine is false, even though he's under the judgment of God, people will realize it. And the people don't even know it. Clearly, this passage addresses the priests, for we read, "And now, you priests," and I'll say preachers, "this commandment is for you." So we cannot ignore the influence of the priests and their responsibility for the people and their sin as listed in Malachi. I want to deal with this passage under three headings. Every person must understand that religious leaders are obligated to listen to the Lord and to follow His commandments. And second, every person must understand that religious leaders who do not listen to the Lord and follow His commandments are cursed by God. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people cursed. And third, the religious leaders are obligated to listen to the Lord and to follow Him and His commandments because of God's covenant. You can't just set out and do what you want to do. You've got to follow God's word when you come to worship Him. So let me take these one at a time. First, every person must understand that religious leaders are obligated to listen to the Lord and follow His commands, not man's commands. The priests are clearly addressed here, chapter 2, verse 1. "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you." Listen, you priests, this law is for you. This ordinance is for you. This precept is for you, you preachers, you priests. Listen. God says, "I am addressing you priests now, not the people. I will have enough to say to the people later before I'm finished. But now I'm giving you priests a commandment. Do you hear me? Are you listening? Will you heed what I say and will you respond to the truth I give you?" So it is also with religious leaders in the New Testament. We're responsible before God, just like the Old Testament leaders were responsible before God. God's servants are responsible for the truth that is being taught, for the reverence and honor that should be given to God, and for the proper worship that we should be maintaining. God's people should be walking according to God's word, God's truth, God's commandments. Do we realize how many warnings there are in the Bible which go out to false teachers? False teachers, false leaders in the New Testament or just in one New Testament book? Read the book of Jude one of these times. Jude verse 4 says, "There are certain men crept in unawares who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and who are denying the only Lord God, even our Lord Jesus Christ." They're denying Christ. And some men are doing it today. In verse 5, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after God saved them out of Egypt, afterwards He destroyed them." Those who did not believe God. verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate. God didn't let them get away with that. God's reserved everlasting chains under darkness and judgment for these angels. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, their cities all about them in like manner, they gave themselves to fornication. They went after strange flesh. These are set forth as an example as they suffered the vengeance of God, the vengeance even of eternal fire. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. And 9 through 13, Jude speaks of many more who failed to listen to God. Someone who spoke evil of those things which they knew not. Some who have gone the way of Cain. This is what our text says. Some who ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And some perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are those who have fruit that is withered, fruit that is twice dead, fruit plucked up by the roots. These people are lost and they're going to hell. And Enoch prophesied of these men, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He comes to execute judgment against all who are against him. He comes to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It's a lot of ungodliness there. These are murmurers and complainers against God. These are men who are walking after their own lusts. These are men whose mouths speak great swelling words because they admire men and want to be favored. And that's the way it is in many circles today. These were prophesied by our Lord Jesus Christ. He prophesied that mockers in the last time would walk after their own ungodly lusts, sensual men, not having the Spirit. Now, you can be pretty religious, but if you don't have the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, you're off course. Such were the priests of the day of Malachi, when the leaders of God went astray. It's a terrible thing when they turn away from God. And it is usually a cataclysmic moment for themselves and for those for whom they're responsible. You see, when preachers go astray, they take people with them. That's the sad part. Such is a far serious fall when the leaders fall rather than that of a common professing believer. For the judgment will follow the leaders, and it will be more severe. But it will be eternal for both the lost lay people as well as for lost preachers and leaders of the church. Some years ago in New York, a photographer would follow a person for 2 days. And he had the person's permission, taking pictures of that person's everyday life, which he then would condense into a 20-minute movie. And all it cost was $500. I will tell you even one better than that. God is doing that of all of our lives. He knows what we have done and what we have not done. He knows if we have lived godly or ungodly lives. And he knows who is and is not living godly lives. And men will be judged in accordance with God's knowledge of who we are and what we have done in way of godly righteousness in Christ. Self-righteousness belongs to Satan. And there's too much self-righteousness even in the churches of our day. Beware of all men, but especially beware of religious leaders, some of them. We all are accountable before God. We must follow God's commands and not the commands of others. Religious leaders are responsible to listen to the Lord and do his will, but there are so many people that no longer look to the truth. And they're following ways that just blow your brains out. How could that possibly be if you claim to believe the Bible? But many people don't even, but some even take the Bible and try to find falsehood. Thus, we've seen religious leaders must follow the Lord's command and not follow man's commands or desires. Our second main point, every person must understand that religious leaders who do not listen to the Lord and follow his commands are under God's curse. That's verses 2 and 3. The priests here are warned of a coming curse upon them. And I wonder how many preachers and people who claim to be godly, and I wonder how many are under that curse even today and have lived under that curse and died under that curse. Here is the warning. If men will not hear the Lord, clearly they know not the law of God if they don't hear the Lord. Clearly they may have been taught the law but have not listened to the law, many people. Clearly many have taught the Old Testament history but have ignored it. Clearly they have been warned before and even now but did not listen as to what the truth is in the Bible. So if they, the priests and preachers, will not respond to what God says to their hearts, we're in danger. The people are in danger. In danger because they're ignoring God's warnings. They cannot shrug off their human nature of what they want to do. They cannot dictate to God as to how to lead the people. God is the one who teaches us what we're to be and what we're to do and how we're to lead the people. But so many people just ignore that. They cannot write their own ticket concerning how to do the ministry. No, we can't write our own ticket. We cannot be the authority over the office of God's priesthood. We must do what God tells us to do. If the priests or preachers will not give glory unto God's name, which is part of the problem here in Malachi, then they're only serving to glorify themselves. And they are false teachers and false priests if they give not the glory to God. And that's what's happening in so many places. They cannot act like God, and their supposed truth does not exist. If men will not hear the Lord, beware of the coming curse of God upon them, verses 2 and 3. God says, I will even send a curse upon you, verse 2. I will curse your blessings if you don't listen to me. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not lay to heart what I have told you, what I have said. You've got to do it my way. You can't do it your way. I have the truth. You don't have the truth. So the priests of Malachi's day were already cursed, verse 2 says. Their blessings which they bring to the people are cursed because they do not take the things of God seriously. God says again, I will corrupt your seed, verse 3, and make worthless the offerings you bring me. Don't bring me any more offerings. I will not take them. They're an offense to me. I will spread dung upon your face, verse 3. Even the dung of your solemn feasts, your solemn feasts that are supposed to be to me for my glory, I will not receive them. I will pour dung on them. Their offerings will be nothing to him. Just as their sacrifices will be rejected and the dung of their sacrifices will be taken to the refuse dump, so will the priests be rejected by God and be taken to the spiritual garbage dump, the priests, the preachers. It's a pretty serious thing to be a godly preacher. You better be a godly preacher. You're going to get it. Or a godly priest. It will make no difference how important priests think they are, or preachers, or how much importance the people give the priests or the preachers, or regardless of how much authority priests and preachers think they have, or regardless of how comfortable we may feel, or how safe we think we are, we'll have to answer to God very soon if we do not follow God's truth as the people of his church, and especially the leaders of the church. Court cases are usually labeled. One court case could say Stevenson versus People, or it might say Jones versus Texas. But in God's judgment, it will be a person. You, me, or other people. A person. You stand by yourself against God with no lawyer to take your case, because God's records and God's judgment is in accordance with his perfection. What could a lawyer add? He knows nothing. God controls these things. So we have seen thus far, we must follow God's commands and not the commands of others. And we must follow God's word and not the religious men of our day. But third, every person must understand that religious leaders should be obligated to listen to the Lord and follow his commands because of God's covenant. This is verses 4 through 9. Yes, in this instance, we are told that the religious leaders are obligated to hear God because of the covenant made with Levi and the Levitical priesthood. And then the New Testament case is included with this. These priests in the day of Malachi must understand that they are not chosen to be the priesthood on their own. They are priests because they are of the family of Levi, the priestly line. What a privilege! But they didn't seem to take it to be a privilege. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do. Here, Malachi chapter 2, 4 through 5. As to what God says to the priests, verse 4. And you shall know, you priests, that I, God, has sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. That you priests must follow the Levitical priesthood and its teaching. And when you say you got to follow God's teaching, you're saying you're not supposed to follow your own ideas about the matter. And then verse 5, my covenant was with Levi, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him, Levi, for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Levi was a godly man. What God wants his priest to do and to be, he wants his priest to wake up in the time of Malachi. He wants them to come to their senses. God has promised them life and peace as priests. Thus they were and are obligated to serve God with reverence, or God will deal with them. God says, Levi feared me, verse 8, or verse 5. And he was afraid before me. And I would even ask us, where is our fear? And it even asks, where is the fear of the descendants of Levi? Where is our reverence before God? God says the law of truth was in Levi's mouth. Levi knew the truth, and you must come back to the teaching of Levi. He was a true priest of God. What is your honor of the truth? What is it that fills your mouth? Lies, God says, you priests, there in the book of Malachi. Why do you not honor the truth like Levi did? Why do lies fill your mouths? There was no iniquity found on Levi's lips. What is that on your lips? What are you saying? You're giving false words to soothe the people, false hope to mislead the people, false encouragement to keep the people in their sin, soft words to coddle the people. Now, it may be, not be saying all of those, but it shows us this is what this is. This God is against what these men are doing, and this is what it is. Gentle words to sing the people to sleep, I would put. Where are the strong and powerful words to wake the people up and to challenge the people and to warn the people about the judgment of God that's coming? Would such words cost you too much? Too much comfort? Oh, you like your comfort as one of you priests. Book of Malachi. You want too much comfort. You're wrong to begin with. too much rejection. You want to do what the people want you to do. Too much persecution. You want to be popular, so you don't want to do the unpopular things in the way of God. God says the priest's lips should preserve truth, knowledge. That's what the priest should be preaching and teaching. They should not be destroying knowledge. They should not muddy the knowledge. They should not deny knowledge. They should not question God's truth. What are you priests doing? That's what you're doing. And God says the people should be able to find the truth from the priests' mouths. Priests should be telling the people the truth, but they are not. Hungry souls come to the priests. The priests don't teach them the truth. Troubled souls come and no. Doubting souls come to the priests of Malachi's day and they don't hear the truth. Rebellious souls come to the priest. They don't hear the truth. What are these priests giving to the people? Falsehood. God says the priest is to be the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priest does not live on an island by himself with no responsibility to anybody else. The priest does not live in seclusion with no responsibility to himself. The priest is a messenger of God, and he has a responsibility before God and before the people. The priest is to be faithful to minister the truth to the people of God in a spiritual manner. But what have these priests done? The answer to that question is given in verse 8. God's priests have turned aside out of the way. What way? The way of God. How? They have turned deliberately away from God. Why? We're not told why. But surely it's because of rebellion and falsehood and lives of sin that they've turned away from God. God's priests have caused many people to stumble at the law of God. Verse 8. Evidently, they have interpreted the law incorrectly. As they allow God's people to circumvent the law and live in accordance with their own desires and lusts. Also, the priests have broken the law and they're setting the wrong example for the people as they are leading them away from the truth by their false words and their godless examples. People are using the priests as examples, but their example is lost. The priest does not do what he should be doing. The priest might say, oh, it's all right for me. No, you must follow God's truth. The priest said, I could do this. Nothing wrong with it. Oh, yes. If it's against the word of God, it's wrong. The priests are in error in many areas, but they will not admit it. God's priests have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Verse 8. God takes his covenant seriously. Few things are worse than breaking one's covenant with God, and that's what these priests have done. We and those of our text are God's covenant people too. And we are saved by grace, and those that are saved by grace have entered into a covenant with God. New Testament Christians are in a covenant with God. And as God's covenant people, we've pledged ourselves to God and he has pledged himself to us. We can be assured that God will honor his part of the covenant. Yet how lightly, to our own hurt and harm, even professing Christians of being faithful to churches, they've forgot what church is all about many times. And in reality, God in the days of Malachi sees his priests as contemptible and base for all the people, verse 9. How often it is when God's servants seek the favor of the people and not God. That's what these people were doing, even the priests. And it is then that the people lose all respect for God as the people drift further and further away from the Lord and his truth. Thus, the priests have become contemptible before God and the people. These priests are despised by God and the people, scorned by God and the people, looked upon as vile priests and wicked priests by God and the people, looked upon as base and worthless by God and the people. And they are seen as no value to God or the people. Unneeded, undesired. They have set nothing before the people but godlessness and sin. And that's what Malachi is telling them. Thus, we've seen some very serious accusation against God's priests. Every person must understand that religious leaders are obligated to listen to the Lord and follow his commandments. And religious leaders who do not listen to the Lord and follow his commandments are cursed before God. And even the people too. And religious leaders are obligated to listen to the Lord and to follow his commandments because of God's covenant. How sad that the service of the priests of Malachi's day were cursed by God because of their unfaithfulness. They didn't even know how cursed they were. Let me give you a summary of a sad day in America. How sad that the ministry of many preachers of our day may very well be cursed too by God because of unfaithfulness to God's word and God's covenant and God's truth. And many men don't even know it, and many of the people of churches don't even know it. They're supposed to be spiritual men and women, but so many are preaching falsehood and are not preaching truth. Is it any wonder that the heart of Malachi is burdened? Is it any wonder that the heart of a Bible preacher is burdened in this day and age? Is it any wonder the heart of a godly Christian is burdened today? Whatever the day, the month, or year, or decade, the heart of a Bible preacher or Christian is burdened when God's supposed people serve and know not God. Busy, 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 busy all over the place, churches, churches, churches everywhere. And I'm not saying they're all bad, but I'm saying so many of them are far from what they ought to be according to the scriptures. A man named David Johnson of Chicago was on a scaffold, 8 stories high, when he heard a snap and he saw his partner fall. But he had found a place where he could hang on to a cable, so he thought. He said, "My whole life flashed before me, and it was very clear as he tried wildly for several seconds to hang on to that hanging cable. And then he felt himself slipping away to his death. But unexpectedly, he found himself caught by an air conditioner below. And carefully, he slipped safely through the window where the air conditioner was placed. As for going up again, he said, "That's it for me. I'll never go up again. I've got to find a new trade." It's hard to explain how terrified I was. But does not Malachi show us how God's people and God's so-called priests needed to be even more concerned than a man falling through the air? That man falling through the air was caught by an air conditioner, while the priests of God of Malachi's day were not caught. But when they died and went to hell for all of eternity. The priests of Old Testament times and the preachers of New Testament times, in many cases, have not been faithful to the truth. And they will be hurled into eternity to a godless place. Someone has said that Jesus, to some, is more of a happy tour guide into heaven, not the Savior of the world who died on the cross for sinners. What foolishness you can find nowadays. He is the Savior of the world who will come to him. He gave his life for sinners, but many sinners have refused to receive the salvation he brings. Now the multitudes, instead of receiving him, are rejecting him along with the great majority of all mankind, with many of them being church members and calling themselves Christians when they're not. Have you ever thought there are very, 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 very few Christians really in this world? How surprised and sad many will be when they face Christ in eternity, as they have been cursed by God because of their sin against God, because of the believing of the falsehood, even like so many of Malachi's day. May the Lord help us to be what we ought to be. Born again, life changed, praying for lost souls, rejoicing in what we have in Christ, walking with him daily, speaking with him daily, just aching to go home to be with him daily sometime, rather than playing around down here on this earth in religion, in generality, making Jesus something but not truly the Savior. May God help us. He is the Savior, but he's not the Savior to the one who does not truly understand the truth and give their hearts and lives to him by faith. May God help us to pray, witness, and seek to lead others. And some of them may even be professing Christians. But may we be strong and humble and gracious to witness the truth of salvation in Christ alone as we live in this world. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that we will be faithful, just like Levi and so many other of the Old Testament men and the New Testament men and the men down through history. But oh, there have been so many who stood for falsehood and godlessness, even in the name of Christ. God, help us to be faithful to you, and to serve you, and to witness before others. And may we be faithful to the end, on into eternity for your glory, praising Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as we pray in his name. Amen.
I appreciate that, Doc. It is amazing how, you know, year to year you find some new doctrine that surfaces in the church, some preacher that's saying there's no hell now, no resurrection. We've seen it with the Corinthians, things they say. So, I mean, you never know. We have to stay close to the Lord, because you see how quickly we can slip away into error. So we'll continue tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Let's all stand. Terry, would you dismiss us?